Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
USDA's November World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report, or WASD, points to a large production across major U.S. crops. That's corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton, all showing increased levels. Update reflects strong yield, steady acreage, and demand that remains firm to support movement, but not tight enough to significantly draw down carryout. Now, corn remains the largest driver of overall supply. USDA trimmed yield to 186 bushels per acre, lowered production slightly to 16.8 billion bushels, but larger beginning stocks more than offset those reductions. Exports raised to 3.1 billion bushels on record fall shipment pace, pushing total demand higher. But even so, ending stocks increased to 2.2 billion bushels as USDA raised the season average price to $4 per bushel. Soybean supplies tightened modestly due to lower carry-in and a smaller crop. Now, production now estimated at 4.3 billion bushels with a 53-bushel yield. That's down slightly from prior expectations. USDA trimmed exports by 50 million bushels to 1.64 billion as U.S. price advantages narrowed against Brazil and Argentina. Ending stocks slipped only marginally, but stronger prices led USDA to raise the season average price to $10.50 per bushel. Wheat posting one of the report's biggest supply increases, a record all-wheat yield, lifted production to 1.985 billion bushels, up 58 million, with domestic use unchanged. Nearly all the added supply flowed straight into ending stocks. USDA lowered the season average price to $5 per bushel, reflecting both stronger production and softer market expectations for the remainder of the marketing year. Cotton saw another sizable production increase as improved yields across most major states pushed the output to 14.1 million bales, nearly 900,000 above September. Now, USDA lifted exports to 12.2 million bales, but raised ending stocks almost 20%. Now, 4.3 million, that generates a burdensome stocks-to-use ratio near 31%. Season average upland price now lowered to 62 cents per pound as abundant supplies continue to weigh on the market. President Trump's new executive order carves out tariff exemptions for major food imports, marking a significant shift in trade policy. It's one that carries clear implications for both U.S. consumers and American ag. The order removes sweeping duties from products like beef, tomatoes, bananas, and coffee, reverses earlier tariff actions that help fuel higher grocery bills. And while the administration frames the move as an affordability fix, it also represents a targeted recognition that food inflation has become a political and economic pressure point heading into the weekend. Now, for consumers, immediate effect, downward pressure on supermarket prices, especially for imported fresh produce and tropical goods where tariffs had added some cost. Refunds set to be issued retroactively, and new framework deals with Argentina, Ecuador, Guatemala, and El Salvador point toward additional relief coming later this year. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
So total supply up with that larger carry-in and the slight reduction in yield.
Dr. Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board. Following the release of USDA's first World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report since the reopening of the government.
The other item I think to highlight here is a fairly big bump in exports this month, raised 100 million bushels. That reflects strong export inspection data, record corn export inspections for September and October. So a lot of export strength, demand for U.S. corn there on the export side. And ending stocks end up up just 44 million bushels. Season average market price, we raised 10 cents per bushel, just reflecting recent observed cash and futures prices. Even strength there. Globally, world corn production on the back year, I think the main thing to focus on there is raised Brazil's corn production forecast 1 million tons just based on harvest results. And then for the out year, new crop year, Mexico's production forecast was raised 1.2 million metric tons. That's an area expansion. The rebound in reservoir reservoir availability coming off a few years of drought, better rainfall there supporting that area expansion. And then EU upgraded 500,000 tons based on harvest results. Mainly that reflects increased production in France, partially offset by reduced production in Germany. Global corn balance sheet. Starting with back year, main thing I'd draw your attention to here is trade, global corn exports, reduction. That reduction reflects both Argentina and Brazil. Each were lowered 2 million tons. Each were lowered 2 million tons this month, and also lower exports from Ukraine. And worth noting there on the back here, too, our China import forecast was reduced again this month. Now it's down to 1.8 million tons in total. So a pretty remarkably low export forecast for China on the back here. Ending stocks raised this month on the back here, 7.5 million metric tons. That's primarily higher stocks in the U.S. plus Argentina and Brazil. On the new crop year, the out year, feed use up, that's higher feed use in Argentina, Brazil, Iran, Ukraine, and a few others, partially offset by lower feed use in the EU. Global corn trade raised this month 1.8 million tons. That's mainly higher exports by the U.S., partially offset by lower exports from Ukraine.
Again, USDA says a 16.752 billion bushel crop on the hills of 186 bushels per acre. I'm Tony St. James. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
We're negotiating with lawmakers, and I've had personal talks with some Democrats. I can't tell you who they are. I just don't want to do that. It's not fair to them. About paying large amounts of dollars back to the people.
Speaking to reporters over the weekend, President Donald Trump.
You know, oftentimes in under times of stress, like the shutdown, you come up with great ideas that you wouldn't have thought of before. The insurance companies are making a fortune. Their stock is up over 1,000% over a short period of time. They are taking in hundreds of billions of dollars, and they're not really putting it back, certainly not like they should. So when I see this, and when I've seen this over the last pretty short period of time, I said, why don't we just pay this money directly to the people of our country and let them buy their own health insurance? And, you know, I made that statement, and I made it a little bit cavalierly, but it sounded good. And everybody has picked up, including Democrats. And I am talking to some Democrats right now about doing that. People love it. We're going to take the money. Well, if it gets approved, we're going to take the money. We're going to pay it back to the people of our country to go out and buy health insurance. Now, they could put it in a health account. We could do it a lot of different ways. But they'd buy their own health insurance. They can negotiate price. And it's going to be locked, so they can't go out and buy a Cadillac. They can go out and buy health insurance.
He also addressed the unrest in South America, specifically Venezuela.
We're stopping drug dealers and drugs from coming into our country. And I actually told Marco and some of the people, our Secretary of State is doing a great job, by the way. I said, go to Congress and let them know we're not letting drugs come through Mexico. We're not letting them come through Venezuela, and let Congress know about it. We don't have to get their approval, but I think letting them know is good. The only thing I don't want them to do is leak information that's very important and confidential and may put our military at risk or whoever is doing, you know, CIA, military, etc. But I did say, I said, go and see Congress, see the representatives that we're supposed to be seeing, and be open about it. If they say, we don't want you to stop drugs from coming into the country, I don't think that would be good.
U.S. has been a key supplier of ag goods to Venezuela, strong market share in beans, corn, rice, and wheat.
Yeah, we have great support because it's all about drugs. Well, in Venezuela's case, it's about drugs, and it's also about thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that they've released into our country. And some are gang members from Tren de Aragua. Some are many are drug dealers. Some are murderers. So in the case of Venezuela, it's about the prison population. Their almost entire prison population was released into the United States. You know what that means? Their prison population was released into the United States. And we're getting it out. We're doing an amazing job. We have a strong border now. We have everything. Our country's doing so well. But what the Biden administration did to our country should never be forgotten. And the single worst thing they did is allow 20 or 25 million people to pour into our country. People from prisons, drug dealers, mental institutions, bad people, gang members, to allow that to happen to the United States, totally unchecked and unvetted, should never be forgotten. What they've done to our country is a very big thing. But we are correcting it. We have strong borders now. We have a great economy. The prices are coming down. The Democrats like to use the word affordability, but their affordability was terrible.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
At the close, December corn futures 11 and one quarter cents lower to 430 and one quarter of a cent. For the week, that was still 3 cents higher. January soybean futures dropped 22 and a half cents today, settling at 1124 and a half. For the week, that was still 7.5 cents higher. And lastly, December Chicago wheat futures, they fell 8.5 cents, settling at 527 and a quarter. That was 0.5 cent lower for the week.
Oliver Slope is with Blue Line Futures. What happened to the markets? What prompted this?
Yield data was the big headline number in today's report, and the USDA showed the national average corn yield at 186 bushels per acre. That was 2 bushels more than the average analyst estimate, and just a reduction of 0.6 of a bushel from September's report. The soybean yield was reported at 53 bushels per acre, which is 0.1 of a bushel below the average analyst estimate. Corn ending stocks for the United States were reported at 2.154 billion bushels. That was above the average analyst estimate of 2.136. Soybean ending stocks came in at 290,000 bushels. That was below expectations of 304,000. And world ending stocks for corn and soybeans, both below analyst expectations. Daily flash sales during the shutdown were also released alongside today's WASDE report. Known soybean purchases to China totaled 332,000 metric tons. There was an additional 355,000 metric tons to unknown destinations, which could potentially be China as well.
Dr. Mark Chekanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board.
U.S. corn balance sheet on the back here. That data is almost final. Still, you know, some uncertainty given exports and some of the use data, given the data that was unavailable in October. But for the most part, very close to final there. Stocks, ending stocks forecast this month trued up to the September 30 NAS grain stocks report, of course, and you know, and that based on that ending stocks forecast and feed and residual adjusted accordingly to reflect that. So with that, we're carrying in an additional 206 million bushels into the new crop year. Production down slightly. You just heard from Patrick reporting on the U.S. corn production outlook.
On the soybean side, Jekanowski explains.
On the back year globally, this is soybean production. Argentina was raised. That's based on MINAG data. Brazil, soybean production raised 2.5 million metric tons this month. That's based on a combination of supply and use data, our use data within Brazil, as well as CONAG and MINAG data, all of which confirm a very big crop in Brazil. So that's reflected in that 2.5 million ton increase this month.
And then looking at cotton, it's become somewhat disastrous for the market.
Incorporated the production change from NAS this morning. Most of that higher production is going to go into ending stocks, but some of that we expect to be exported as well. So we raised our export forecast by 200,000 bales, reflecting the higher supplies and the lower prices. Speaking of lower prices, we lowered our season average cotton price by 2 cents per pound, just based on recent observed prices as well as those larger supplies that we saw this morning.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
On the back year, globally, this is soybean production.
Chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, Mark Jackanowski.
Argentina was raised. That's based on MinAg data. Brazil, soybean production raised 2.5 million metric tons this month. That's based on a combination of supply and use data, our use data within Brazil, as well as CONAG and MinAg data, all of which confirm a very big crop in Brazil. So that that's reflected in that 2.5 million ton increase this month. Now on the out year, we'll talk about the U.S. Down 1.3 million tons this month. Otherwise, India soybean production lowered. Intense rainfall in July, so poor weather affecting yields there. So that's basically a harvest result forecast there. And also, not on the list, Ukraine. Soybean production was reduced as well based on harvest results. Global balance sheet, starting again with the back year, 2024-2025, global soybean crush raised 3.3 million metric tons. That reflects higher crush in Brazil, Argentina, China, and the EU. Global soybean trade was raised 1.5 million metric tons, reflecting higher exports from both Brazil and Argentina. The ending stocks were minimally changed this month as increased supplies largely balanced against higher use. Also note that we raised China's imports on the back year, 1.5 million tons. Now on the out year, 2025-2026, global production down. We already talked about that. U.S. contributing to some of that reduction. Crush, we lowered 1.6 million metric tons. A couple things there, mainly lower crush in India, reflecting a smaller crop I just mentioned on the previous slide. And also reduced Argentina crush, lower beginning stocks in Argentina, and also increased exports. So tightening up domestic supplies, so that reduces their availability of beans to crush. Trade, global soybean trade. So we, this month we raised Argentina and Brazil, which is, partially offset by, lower, reduction in exports for the U.S. and Ukraine. So now we'll go into the U.S., balance sheet, soybean balance sheet. Again, the back year, 2024-2025, ending stocks based on the NAS, grain stocks report from September 30th, close to final again on that back year, but waiting for final data on exports and crush. Now on the current crop year, 2025-2026, we incorporated the production change from NAS this morning, based on the lower yield. Tightens up supplies a bit, given the lower beginning stocks as well. So total supplies reduced by 61 million bushels. With those, with that slightly, with that tighter supply, we reduced exports by 50 million bushels, reflecting both those tighter supplies and higher prices for U.S. Soybeans. So season average market price was raised 50 cents per bushel. It's based on recent price strength, and that's driving that lower export forecast along with those tighter supplies.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Whenever we talk about harvest products that help us with the harvest, we have bowl openers, and those basically will mimic plant hormones that occur naturally in the plant and help open those bowls up, especially those upper bowls, and get a higher percentage of those opened up for the harvest.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services, Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers.
Whenever we are looking at getting that crop ready for the harvest, it's really, we would love to be able to do that with one shot, but that's really very difficult to do. So what we typically see is we will see a defoliation shot go out, and that is basically taking a herbicide and putting on a light amount of it onto the plant, enough to cause enough damage on the leaf tissue that plant will naturally begin to form abscission layers so that we get natural leaf drop. And then after we see some of that occur, then we typically have to come in with what we call a desiccation shot, and we have to dry that plant down so that we don't have as big of a chance of getting contamination from green plant material. The bracts, which are the specialized leaves around the bowls, those tend to tear off during the stripper operation. And then also, if we're too aggressive with our stripper, and if the bark is a little bit green, then we can strip that bark away from that main stalk and get bark contamination. Fortunately, we have not seen much of that this year. Bark contamination has been very low, and actually grades that we've seen have been very good this year. But yes, that's kind of the process that we use for defoliation and desiccation of the plant. And then ideally, we'd like to see that freeze come in and really dry those plants down naturally so that we can get in there and harvest those, especially for our organic producers. And, you know, something I guess I should have mentioned at the beginning is that something that we often don't talk about is the fact that cotton is different from most of all of our other major commodities that we grow, because most of our major commodities, especially the row crops, are truly annual plants. And so what that means is that you plant them in the spring and they will grow in a vegetative state. Then they move into a reproductive phase and they will set seed. And then once the seed is set, then that plant will begin to senesce naturally, and then it will die. And so it goes through that entire process within 1 year. Now, cotton is unusual because cotton is a woody perennial. And so we are taking a perennial plant and we are growing it and managing it as if it were an annual. And we're having to manage it closely enough to maintain the vegetative to the fruiting ratio so that we get the fruit set on there that we desire. And we have a valuable product at the end, which for us, we're looking for the lint, and we can't get lint without good seed set. And so we've got to get a good fruit set overall on that cotton plant, and we've got to do that within a growing season, and we've got to more or less keep that plant managed, because when that plant goes into the ground, it does not realize, or it's not aware that in about a 5 month period, then we're going to run out of growing degree days, especially on the high plains of Texas, and then we'll have to bring things to a halt.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.